Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to another episode of The Creative Exchange. I am here with my friend, Josh. Josh, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh, you just turned into like a radio personality. You're like, oh, thank you so much. We were just welcome. So high level with our excitement.
Yeah, we are.
And then you were just like, oh.
I feel like we can talk like all day. I feel like we have this thing where we could just yip yap all day.
Yeah, no, I'm excited because I first met you, I think, 3 years ago at Buffer.
Yep.
And that was the first time that I ever really understood what abandoned like videos were.
True.
And so I do have questions for you because I think it's such an interesting genre. But tell the people listening a little bit about yourself and what type of YouTube videos you make.
So is this mostly a podcast and less of looking at a camera.
So it's audio first. But I do have cameras, guys. If you want to check out the full video version, you can go to patreon.com/SarahDeechy and you actually get the podcast 1 week in advance.
Ooh.
And they get the exclusive
video.
Them
out. Yeah, this is good. You gotta check it out, guys. Yeah. I'm going to go sign up now so I can see it.
Boom. But yeah, so most people are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. So audio first, you know.
I can't believe podcasts are coming back.
It's a thing.
Yep, I was in like the 80s when people were sitting down by the radios and just listening to radios. There's no TVs. Or was that even 50s? That was the 50s.
Dude, don't start testing me on history. I am not a good history person. Are though.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So my name's Josh from the YouTube channel called Exploring with Josh. I'm 25 now. I've been doing abandoned places, like pretty much go inside of abandoned buildings, asylums, hospitals, schools, anything that's abandoned, like even like casinos. Like there's everything. There's a different abandoned place for everything, really. You just got to find them. There's only like two abandoned casinos right now I know in the world. One's in Romania and there's one in Las Vegas. So to get to those, you know, you got to...
You travel a lot.
Yeah, I travel so much.
I'm always amazed to see where you are in the world. I wonder what trouble he's getting into.
Yeah, well, see, when I was 16, that's when I started. And I was with a lot of friends and I was skipping class. And this before, I think YouTube was out maybe like for three more years before, like it was out for 3 years before that. And so like, I never thought about YouTube, but I used to just go into these places with my friends and skip school. I was pretty badass in high school, I'm not going to lie. but we would go inside and my friends were pretty much just screwing around and more of like a ghost thing. And I was there like mostly just me, but amazed. I was like, I'm finding out like this is the forks they were eating with. But like, it was just like that to me. I was like, dude, everything is still here. I remember it all. Like, I remember the first abandoned place. It was an old abandoned asylum in Exeter, Rhode Island. Yeah. And it was just
an asylum.
Freaky.
Ooh.
The freakiest hospital I've ever seen literally to this day in my whole life. But it got knocked down like 4 years ago. So I went there at least 20 times, but I never filmed this because this was before I had a camera.
Yeah.
I was just 16. Like I said, I was just taking pictures.
Would you be there with your friends though?
Yeah, okay. I never went alone.
I can't imagine doing that alone.
I never did any of it alone except I went to NAR Dreamland, which is an abandoned theme park that copied Disneyland. And I actually got sued for it and they ended up closing down. But the theme park was still there, and I remember everything. I went by myself for the first time. I walked inside of a place at 4 in the morning, and I just started filming. And it was just the most amazingest thing ever, because I actually went alone. And imagine seeing the Disney castle by yourself. Like, you're walking inside Disneyland alone.
And there's no one around
you. No one's there.
Whoa. Yeah. So when you first saw that abandoned asylum, like, why did that make you want to keep doing this? Because for me, I feel like I would be in one of those situations and I'd be like, oh, this is cool, but I'm creeped out. I'm never doing this again.
Yeah. I think for me, it was just that whole time I was just nonstop looking for adventures. In high school, it was just nonstop. It was just partying and just adventures over and over and over again. I was the guy that was like trying to build go-karts out of wood just to have some crazy fun adventure, not having that much money. And then when I discovered that there was actually more abandoned places out there in the world except this one, I was like, dude, there's more out there. Let's try to go to all of them. And I couldn't have a car. I didn't have any car, but my friends did. So I'm like, hey, let's go to this place. And we would just hide from the security guards and sneak in. It was just so fun.
You
I got
sound
addicted.
Like a natural born YouTuber, like building go-karts out of just anything, you know? When did YouTube come on the spot? When did you get your first camera?
Dude, this is like, it was like so depressing. Like I was 20 years old and I was working at a mill. I was a forklift driver and I was just so depressed from working 9 to 5 that I was like, there's gotta be another way. And I started looking into like possibly YouTube as a thing because I had a YouTube channel up because my YouTube URL actually says The Art of Reality Crew. It doesn't say Exploring with Josh. It says The Art of Reality Crew because before I used to breakdance my whole entire year from 16
what?
To 20. Yeah. So I would have little edits from using like cameras and phones.
Do you still breakdance?
I still breakdance. I still do it to this day. But I haven't had like a proper session in like over the last year. But I can at parties and stuff, I'll just go out and start ripping it on the dance floor. You know,
but it
was literally that moment because I already knew how to edit and I started studying people vlogging. And I'm like, no offense to everyone, because I do this too. But I just couldn't wrap my head around how much people were watching someone eating like cereal in the morning and starting off their day. I was like, how is that interesting? Over the course of the next like 2 years, I was like, all right, we're going to create something that no one has ever done. I've been doing abandoned places since I was 16. No one has ever filmed in abandoned places for YouTube. I'm going to be the guy to do it. So I went in and did like a proper like vlog yet cinematic film, short films for every single abandoned place I did. And it only took 3 months for me to already start making money and grow as a YouTuber. And wow. I already hit 1 million that same year.
Jeez. And now you're over 3 million.
Yep. Every year I hit 1 million. Every single year.
That is amazing. And you're traveling all over the place filming these abandoned places. So when you first started, were there Instagram pages at the time? Were there other things that were around this abandoned theme? Because I feel like it's everywhere.
Yeah. So, all right. So as of right now, if you're doing abandoned, you know who I am.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not just saying that. It's
like
just,
you're, because that's what I was getting at. Were you the person who really like carved out this genre?
I'd say I'm the one that made it mainstream.
Yeah.
There was a couple, like OGs, like really like about like 40 years old that was filming themselves. But they had nothing. They had no subscribers or nothing, but except one person named Adam the Woo.
Okay.
He's I think he's like 45 now, but he was a guy that just took his cell phone and went inside like 5 or 6 or maybe even 7 spots that were just really cool and wacky. Mm. And I watched him when I was in high school and I was like, oh man, that's really cool. There's a theme park that's in Six Flags, New Orleans that's abandoned. I was like, that's cool. And but it was just like, there was 2 other people, but
right.
they weren't nothing. Like it was just
right.
like, it was
well,
me.
Well, I think adding the cinematic vibes to making it good videos.
Exactly.
That like
That's
really
the thing.
Sets
so there
you
was
apart.
Only 2 other
yeah.
people doing it. And then I came in, you know, being younger. So
right.
a lot of, you know, the majority of YouTube, I think is mostly like, you know, kids to yeah. like maybe like 25.
So it's more relatable.
Yes,
seeing you,
exactly.
Yeah.
They see me, they see some cool shots. They see like I'm young and I'm traveling. They want to do that. And and because abandoned is interesting, like you don't have to, you know, everyone is interested in something like that. I feel like people are like, oh, wow, that's creepy, but it's cool. No one sees it.
And
often.
It's almost like I like YouTube things where it is very aspirational. They're doing cool stuff. And maybe it's something that I would never do, but it's always cool to kind of live in your shoes, see how it is when this caught on YouTube and you were the one kind of spearheading it and you saw other big YouTubers who maybe have nothing to do with like exploring or abandoned, basically using abandoned blah, blah, basically titles exactly like yours.
Oh,
you know, you
man.
We see this a lot on YouTube. Someone makes something popular and then with the algorithm and people need views, people hop on bandwagons. So
yes.
When did that start?
That
Were
started,
you a year and 6 months in? When did that start?
It actually started, I say about, yeah, literally a year and a half.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to start sooner. I generally did. I thought this was going to start a lot sooner. Mm-hmm. I thought people, it's bound to happen sooner. But no, it actually took a while. And this is the reason why.
So
because
you were like, oh, I'm here on my own island. Things
yep,
are nice.
Yep.
I'm successful.
And exactly. But then the thing is, it's like when it started to get saturated was like 2 years in.
Okay.
It started, everyone tried doing it. Everyone tried.
I still see it today
yeah, no,
on
it's,
YouTube.
It's happening so much. It doesn't end now. But the thing is that like it affected me. Mm-hmm. So now people are finding my videos less and less because it's saturated with so much like fake stuff, ghost hunting. It's completely so fake. They're just trying to get views. Even the big YouTubers are doing it. And it's just, I find it so annoying because like I'm actually there for the history and to make some cool films rather than people going inside, busting the door open or spray painting it and just destroying what I kind of built, you know, like I built on this and I really liked it. And it just sucks to see, like, it's given me a bad name that others are going in, and it's going to make me look bad.
Well, they might assume that you're doing the same
thing,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
And we've seen Logan and Jake Paul videos
yes.
where they're, oh, guys, we're going here, and then it's a whole ghost story,
dude.
And then, oh, my God, let's break out the Ouija board
stuff. I got a story. So I was I was probably the first YouTuber except Vice to go to a Suicide Forest and film a proper video. And I went there.
I did not. Okay.
And I filmed it. I filmed it very well, mm-hmm. and I got not a single hate from anyone on it. Mm-hmm. Not one person said nothing to me about it.
You didn't show a dead body,
right? I did not show a dead body, but I showed everything but the dead bodies because I felt like it wasn't, you know, you shouldn't have shown
it. But you saw dead bodies.
Sort of. But Logan went there and he shows the dead body and then it just, everyone knew that. Like, that was so wrong, whatever, yeah. But you know what the interesting thing was? Because I filmed it properly and right, that YouTube didn't demonetize me, and they still loved me for doing it. Like, it was properly done. And then I made a film before that, and I went to a place, and I called it Skull Island, and I actually showed a dead body in my video. Like, it's not demonetized at all. It's still up. I'm still getting the great views, and I'm getting all positive comments because I did it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it just shows you how the genre is just, it's just becoming so wacky. People are just going there just for views. Yeah. That's all it is. You can see the difference.
Yeah. So first, okay, two things. So your Suicide Forest experience. And for the people out there listening, I find my podcast audience is a little bit older. And so maybe some people kind of don't watch Logan, but I'm sure you relatively know or knew what happened. Basically, Logan Paul went to the Suicide Forest in Japan and made like a fun upbeat vlog, but then it got all serious and like creepy when they were in the Suicide Forest. And this forest is a forest in Japan that's known, people go there to commit suicide. I mean, that's, it's straightforward, but I didn't believe that that was real until I actually saw in a Logan Paul vlog. Basically, they ran into a dead body and they filmed it. They filmed his hands. They filmed close up. It was very disturbing. And he got completely destroyed for it. And rightfully so. I mean, people just reacted like crazy. But the most interesting part about that was it did not become a bad thing until it was at like 4 million views. So many people saw that before and so many of his fans saw it and were not disturbed by it at all. And so my question with you going to the Suicide Forest, going in, did you fight that, if I see something, do I put a dead body in this video? And like, is that crossing the line, you know?
Yeah. So I had that thought in my head, but it wasn't like a thought I was thinking about while being there the whole time. It was just a thought like, okay, yeah, should I do it or not? I'm like, I'm probably going to do it. But I'm going to do it like I did with my other video on Skull Island. I'm just going to show it off and be like, this is legit. Like, dude, all right. So, like, in America, like, they have, like, funerals and all that, whatever. But, like, in other countries, the funerals are just shown open casket, but for everyone in the world to see. Like, in India, like, there's bodies floating in the river. Mm-hmm. And, like, near, what's the Taj Mahal? Like, the whole river is just full of dead bodies. It's just normal.
Really?
Yeah. It's normal in other countries to just see dead bodies and stuff, and no one really, like, cares. Or how, like, our meat is, like, always hidden in the back when it gets cut.
Right.
But in every other country,
it's... We like to say separated.
Exactly. But in other countries, meat is just hanging on the... Like, just hanging in front of you to just buy.
Right.
So it's, like... I know America's, like, a lot more sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
But it just really depends on how you show things off. Like, so, like, I was like, all right, if I'm going to see the dead body, I'm going to just show it off. But I'm going to show, like, I'm not going to, like
zoom
this is,
in,
this is, yeah,
laugh.
Not, yeah, exactly.
Because Logan, you know, his excuse was, oh, I react to death by, like, with humor. And so a lot of points in those videos, he was kind of laughing. He had a smile and people were very shocked by that, rightfully so.
I think it's like, as long as you don't show, like, the teenage punk side,
yeah,
you're okay. Like, I don't, like, when I film my videos too, like, I'm showing, like, the truths about things, like.
And you say the history.
Yeah,
and...
like, I don't want to, like, candy coat it, is what I'm trying to say. I don't want to candy coat it, because it's going to make, I don't want to, like, hide out some of the information, because that means my documentary's not fully there. Like, I keep it really raw,
mm-hmm.
you know, really true and raw. And that's why, like, I don't mind showing what I have to show. You know what I mean? The most I do is just beep out the swears and stuff. If I swear, I beep everything. You know what I mean?
Right,
that's normal.
Demonetization.
But exactly. But other than that, I show everything. Yeah. Definitely. And I'm not scared to do that.
Did you leave the forest feeling different?
I left the forest definitely feeling like I had, like, almost like an achievement. Because to me, these secret, like, sacred places is like a treasure to me. It's like I gotta go to it, and for my treasure, it's the video.
Yeah.
in the photos. So I keep these forever. I'm like, oh, I just completed this treasure hunt sort of thing. That's how I think in my head. It's more of like a game. You know, I'm a big nerd. I love video games, and I felt like Tomb Raider. You know, I did it. I completed it. Because going all the way across to a different country you're not used to, and then trying to find the forest
getting
is
out of your element.
Yeah, you're out of your comfort zone. You're trying to find this place, and they're really hard. So for me, I felt more like I achieved it, and I was happy to actually do it. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and document it.
Yeah. Skull Island, what is that?
Skull Island is a place off the coast of Bali. It's called Truyun. It's really rare, like no one really knows about it. But what's interesting about Skull Island is that there's a tree there. Now this tree, I guess, gave off this beautiful smell that no one, not even scientists, knew why. This amazing smell. And all these other people in the town was smelling it. They loved it. But people were like, why does this tree smell so good? I want to cut it down. So what they...
Okay. Freaking humans are the worst. Why is that your first reaction? It's like, dude, oh my God, this beautiful thing. Let's cut it down.
Dude, humans are the ones that's going to destroy this planet. And it's like same like Chernobyl, the incident in Fukushima. We're destroying our planet. It's our fault. Yeah. But back to the story. back to Skull Island. So what they did is they actually put dead bodies around the tree to hide the beautiful smell.
Because
there was some other... people that want to cut it down, like this was legit, like they had to protect this tree.
Oh, so they protected the tree by putting dead bodies around it.
Ain't that and it's like such a crazy story, but
what
it's super
time
true
period was that?
That's what I forgot. It's been about a year and a half since I did Bali.
Okay,
but I remember that, like, you know, I remember the keynotes. And so I remember going there and literally like just smelling the dead bodies but filming it but in such a mature way.
Wow.
But yeah, I'm probably like the only other person that has like an actual dead body on YouTube.
Oh my
but
gosh.
it's legit
and
stuff.
So those, I mean, were they decomposed though? So
halfway,
it wasn't...
so you can somewhat still see the skin.
Oh,
the
other that's one, yeah. intense, dude.
Yeah, it's legitimate stuff, but it did smell a bit, but it definitely, I guess, hid the smell. But like these trees are like really like, dude, definitely like 1,000 years old or something like that.
And so scientists still have no idea.
Apparently not. So I'm not really too sure like why, and they don't even know. Like I asked the people, like, why do you think it smells so good? They're like, I don't know.
That is so strange.
It's a wild story, but there is so much stories like that out in this world, especially in South America. It's just the point that you gotta literally find these locals and try to talk with them and bribe your way through it. And
what is the craziest place that you've been?
Oh man, dude, this is the question I get asked every day if I meet someone. And I want to say it was Chernobyl, but until I did Fukushima.
Okay.
Fukushima is the last accident for a nuclear accident that happened, and that happened in Japan from the earthquake and then the tsunami right after. And it caused it's an abandoned city just like Chernobyl. But this one's different because this one still has every single thing inside. Every item that someone has is all there. There's nothing destroyed. It looks like you would wake up and like it's just still there. Like the city is still alive, but it's not. There was no one there, but
it looks
there.
Do you remember when that happened?
It was 2011, okay. I think it's 2011.
2011?
Yeah,
really?
So it wasn't that old.
Wow.
But because
and it's
crazy
completely
thing.
Abandoned.
Yeah, but the crazy thing is the reason why they were able to clear up a lot of radiation because of the Chernobyl incident. So when the Chernobyl incident happened, because that's the only other incident that ever happened to do with radiation. So they knew how to get rid of the radiation quick. So and they actually took scientists from Chernobyl in Ukraine and brought them to Japan to handle the situation because it already happened once.
Interesting. And when did Chernobyl happen?
Oh my God, I'm sorry, I forgot. And I just filmed my video for it. It's so bad.
I know. So talk
There's
about
so much dates. This that's
I know,
the problem.
I know. And I don't know. I mean, you have so many facts inside your brain that I would never be able to keep inside my brain. But we are actually at Buffer Festival while recording this podcast. And you premiered your awesome film about Chernobyl. So what is Chernobyl?
So Chernobyl is a city that was really high class for its time. Like it's supposed to be like one of the best cities. In Ukraine, and it was back in the day, it was before the Soviet Union was going on, and so what happened was a nuclear reaction happened. It was a meltdown. It blew the nuclear power plant, and it causes like the air to be like everything. All the radiation was coming out of there, just flooding the streets, flooding the city, and no one knew what was going on, and the government was trying to hide it for the last 3 days. I think it was 3 or 2 days.
What?
Everyone was still in the city, just breathing in the air and everything, not knowing what was going on. And the crazy thing is, like, when the fire happened, the firefighters went there, and they were the first ones on the site, and they died like instantly. Like literally, like instantly, like, they blew the fire out and they just died. And so the reason why I went to film this video was mostly because I wanted to see the suits that they wore. The suits were still in the hospital basement. Like it was like 35 years later or something, still in the basement.
Yeah. So happened in 1986, okay. April of 1986.
So how is that? Like 30, is it like 32, 35 years? Yeah. Okay. See, I'm there. My mind's on it.
You got it.
Yes.
And so that was something that wasn't accessible. I mean, you had to kind of
sneak your way in there, own risk. You got to understand radiation is like this Z-verts, micro Z-verts, and you got to know, like, set your Geiger counter right. Like, is it per hour, per minute? And you got to just measure and understand radiation. Like, I took in about two CT CAT scans, which is like, honestly, it's like pretty much 2 years of your radiation dose in one day. So it's a lot, but it's still not enough.
Should I be in this room with you? Yeah, is there a such thing as secondhand radiation?
I mean, I guess if it was really bad, yeah, but nothing near there. I'm still perfectly fine. It's just what your regulations are, and like that's how much apparently we should be taking in. The crazy thing is Japan rose theirs after Fukushima happened.
They
rose
didn't
their regulations.
Want people to freak out.
Exactly. That's why. I'm not trying to make this like a conspiracy thing, but they generally did that. And now
they're
trying.
Do you know how much they raised?
I forgot, but they rose it up. They rose it up, and not only that, they're bringing people back into Fukushima now. And some parts you can't.
And that happened in 2011. So what made. This is so interesting, so I'm just going to keep asking you questions about this. But what made them, the people in Chernobyl, the scientists after, like, experts on it, to where did they develop new technology or just over time? Like, how did they help Fukushima?
So they literally studied the radiation. They studied what would happen to humans after in the doses of taking it in. They studied how the plants grow, how trees turn after. They studied everything to the point where there was still scientists on the base after it happened, like 10 years after, and they were just seeing how over time, how long does it take for the radiation to leave the ground, and where do we dispose this stuff? They have to dig everything. In Chernobyl was dug up. All the ground for the first like foot or something was literally all dug up. And then they just took all the ground out. I don't know where they disposed it.
Oh my gosh, where is that ground?
Exactly. No one knows. But you know what I mean? And not only that, there's actually a car graveyard buried underneath Chernobyl, like far away. Like tanks, everything is buried underneath there because there's no place to put it. It's all contaminated, you know, filled. It's radiation vehicles.
We just launch it up in space.
Yeah, yeah. You see this,
like,
this thing.
Who cares about space?
I know, just get it out of here.
We'll
right?
never be in Mars, you know? We just need to start. I find it so funny that, I mean, I don't want to get too dark, but so many things on this planet, again, are just like destroying our planet. And we're still, I mean, like maybe it is good to be concerned about going to Mars because then I guess we can leave and just destroy Mars. And
right, we're going to destroy everything.
But like, I feel like there's so much more effort we could be putting into trying to be better with what we have.
Dude, there
you know?
It's all about politics and money. Mm-hmm. That's it in the end. Because dude, I wouldn't mind a lot more like those turbulence thing.
I mean, have you gone down the rabbit hole on how factory farming and red meat and all that stuff is like?
I heard that we're contaminating our own waters from that too.
Yeah. It's just like factory farming is the production of red meat. I don't want to like anger any meat lovers. Like, I'm Texan, guys. I grew up on hamburgers, but I actually haven't eaten red meat in over a year because I'm like, okay, maybe this is my first step in like trying to save the planet.
Oh, man.
But yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. I seen a news article, and that's how it got me to open up my eyes with that is like they were like doing, you know, whatever, the factories for red meat, but there was a river next to it, and they were dumping everything into the river.
Yeah.
And the river was like just like red.
Mm.
So I don't know if it's like the blood or not, but it's chemicals, but it just destroyed the river.
Yeah.
And I'm just like
the amount that I wish John was here to talk about it. He's the vegan. But yeah, it's just, I mean, I would, because I'm not here to preach to people.
Yeah,
but
I'm not vegan
either,
guys. Or I eat meat too, but
I'm just on my chicken diet.
There you go.
But I would just encourage everyone to do their own research. I think what led me to all of this is just curiosity and like having people around you that challenge you and make you ask important questions. And then there is so much information out there, so you have to, you know,
Internet's
take it with a grain of salt, but it's the best thing ever because you can really learn, and there's videos and there's photos out there. And there's so much to learn about it.
Yeah, I mean, think about this. Like, back in, like, 1990, you know, like, when you only had, like, 56K and dial-up internet. Like, it was really hard to still learn because, like, someone calls you on the phone, it shuts the internet off.
Exactly.
But
oh,
you,
but
you had the
sound.
Library. But just imagine, like, how far we've grown. Now we can access anything. Mm-hmm. We can learn anything just by going on Google.
Yeah.
So
or
it's just,
watching one of your videos.
Or the,
you know?
All the videos, definitely.
And
you'll probably learn some things.
And so the Fukushima thing is, do you know, like, how big, I guess I could look that up, but do you know where it is relative in Japan?
So
I mean, was it a huge city?
I think
city?
It's 4 hours from Tokyo, because I took a train there. The craziest thing is, like,
well, Japan's small,
it's
so I
just,
guess that makes
but
sense.
There is still radiation leaking into the waters right now, but you want to know the crazy thing is, like, we're still eating the fish in Japan.
Wow.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know. You know, it's just really sad because, like, people don't know. Like, you're still eating the salmon that's still, like, you're eating radiated salmon at this point.
Right.
And it just sucks because you don't know what's clean and what's not. Remember the incident in the BP oil down south in Mexico?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, all those fishes, like, you know, they start ingesting that oil. Guess what? We're eating it.
Yeah.
No one realizes that. Like, and I love seafood, but it's like you don't even know what's actually good seafood or not anymore.
Yeah.
You know, unless you go to Alaska, there's Norway. Yeah. You know, it just
well,
sucks.
We'd probably be better off if we didn't eat seafood too, since like half of the ocean's plastic is nets.
It
like
sucks
fishing
now.
Equipment and nets.
It sucks. We are literally destroying the planet. There's nothing no one is actually able to do except all. It's almost like all we can do is talk about it, but we just need to
Isn't
stand
up. Isn't that disheartening?
It's just so frustrating. Like, it just sucks.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do, you know?
So, guys, what is one thing that you can do to just put one foot in front of the other in this big race of saving the planet? I know I could be better with recycling in my office. I do it at home, but I'm not. So, you know, it's a little inconvenient, but I rather have a happy Earth.
I really do too. I mean, I think for me, I think I should do a better job at, like, if I see, like, this litter in the beach, maybe I should just pick it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, my mind says, like, whoever did that is ridiculous and they should pick it up. But I would just sometimes walk away.
Right.
So I think I should do a better job myself at picking, you know, this.
Well, there
this.
We go, guys. We just made some pledges here on the Creative Exchange. What can you do to save your planet?
Yes.
What is your process with making these videos? So obviously a lot of research goes into it, right?
Yeah, so
is that beforehand? Is that on the spot?
It's all right. So if it's really an interesting place, it will be beforehand because I want to know so much about it before I get there. Like this some places I go to are like, it's like a flooded poisoned lake, but the reason why it's poisoned because I don't even know why it's poisoned, but the lake's poisoned, but it was there's still a city under the lake.
What?
Yeah, it's in Romania and I'm going there. So
are you gonna, like, scuba dive down?
I'm not gonna scuba dive, but I'm gonna fly my drone and I'm gonna show, because there's still churches and some of the roofs are sticking out. So you can still see the city. So those are the places where I'm like, okay, I need to research everything before I get there, because I'm like, this is serious. Because I need to devote my time, and there's so much my time's going into. But there's other places where literally right on the spot, I read a paragraph, I'm like, all right, and this is it. I just start the video and I just, you know, what I read, because it is still, it's just, I find it to be just, is the same as, you know, whether I read it before and then say the video or just read there and then say
the video.
Do
you write out scripts?
No, I don't think I've ever wrote out a script ever, except for the Population Zero film I did for Buffer.
Okay.
That's the only one
which
I wrote
Which is out on your channel now, so people can check it out.
Yeah, it's out. Just came out today, so.
Link in description below. Yep. It's very good. And so once, because a lot of traveling is involved with what you do. So
much.
How often do you travel? How often do you also put out videos? Because I feel like it's hard to churn out that type of stuff when YouTube wants quantity.
Oh my God.
YouTube wants videos.
Dude, this is a crazy, we could talk all day on this. Sorry, I say to God, I feel like we talk on this topic. Like, not even kidding. Like, I started off doing one video a week. Every day for the last 2 years. And it just, I was like, okay, I'm going to go daily. I went daily. And I would do daily, but not even daily. I would skip a day or two.
I first met you when you were doing vlogs, right?
Okay,
and you were vlogging with your GoPro.
Yeah, yeah. See, so I was putting out content, just spitting out, just so I could stay relevant. That's what I thought I had to do. So I was just doing that. And then years goes on. And then it wasn't until last year where I was like, I'm just losing my mind. I felt like I was literally losing my mind. And the thing is, like people were actually able to see, like, I was unhappy in the video. So I was like,
I think every YouTuber had a collective breakdown.
Definitely.
At relatively the same time.
It's a normal thing.
And usually it happens right after you realize that you're not a daily vlogger.
Exactly, exactly.
That's when my breakdown happened.
Yeah, it's so true. Well, the thing is, like, we put out some crazy great stuff and, like, it's impossible to edit in one day. Those are the kind of thing that it's like a production type. Yeah. So What happened was I was like, I can't do daily. So I found like new ways to do it. Like I'll do 3 times a week or 2 times a week. And that's what I've been at. And now I just don't care. I used to care so much about views. I used to wake up and I was like, oh, God, my views are not good today. But then the next day they're great and I'm happy. My views were judging and controlling my day.
I 100% understand that.
It was so sad.
And so what happened that now you're free from that control?
Dude, honestly.
Please tell me the secret. I need to write some
next time. You're going to laugh. I think it's pretty funny. Do you know Soraya Hartman? Yeah.
So, oh, don't laugh.
No, because it's amazing because Sawyer is a wild, crazy dude, but he's so freaking smart and he went through the same problem. And then he just put it in my head just not to care because he went through it even worse than I did. And dude, I literally just took in everything he said like he was God. And dude, now it's like it helped me out so much and I just don't care
and
anymore.
It's important to have that support system, right?
I think that's what it is. That's what it is. It's the people that already went through it.
Exactly.
But Sawyer's an OG. Shout out to Sawyer Hartman. Just saying.
Sawyer. I need him on the pod. And something that he did as well, you know, his views aren't the same, but he also did a really good job with pivoting. So he had the creator presets and so he had multiple streams of revenue and he set that up before kind of like a little bit of the decline happened. And so I think that's why I think I resonate with Buffer so much as a event. Because there's so many people here who are not talented. Just YouTubers.
Yeah,
and they're talented.
They're talented. They're not
like
just there to put
talent.
Out blogs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like you could go and produce Netflix documentaries or Vice documentaries and you'd be fine. You know?
Exactly.
But the thing is like you're doing it on your own, which is so cool.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what hopefully a lot of YouTubers are learning, like the importance of diversification. And also because the YouTube platform is so saturated right now, I think it's okay to not upload as much. I think now it's important to just when you release a video, you're stoked on it and it has the balance of good thumbnail, good title, and hey, this is like a good video. So I'm happy with
that. I think that's how the algorithm is now turning because I think it wasn't until the beginning of last year when I noticed like vlogging was dying and now it was like showing like a subject. Showing like if I go to a restaurant, my video is going to be just on the restaurant now.
Right.
And that's what I've been doing. And my views have been fine.
Yeah.
Now.
And people want to click on that thumbnail and get it. And, and they're like, okay, I came for this video for this. And if you distract them for 5 minutes, then they're like, I'm going to click out. And, but it used to not be that way because everyone was daily vlogging.
Yep.
Do you watch Yoon Olsen? John Olsen?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know him as John Olsen.
Yeah. He's the only vlogger that I can still watch and be entertained. And he's it.
He's amazing, dude. Like his cinematics, he goes hard every day. It's like a movie every day. I don't understand how he does it every day, but he does. And that's what I'm saying. Like Louis Cole every day, every day.
He's a beast. I think Louis Cole is a robot.
He is understand. Same with Poppy. I think Poppy is a legitimate robot that YouTube created.
YouTube created them to make us feel bad.
Yeah. Conspiracy theorists right here, guys.
Exactly.
This is the Lit Podcast.
Well, that's good that you found.
And I'm happier. I'm more happier than I ever been because I feel like I'm just as successful in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I even like I said, like when he pivoted out, I created my clothing line. It's not YouTube merch. It's a legitimate clothing line and it's doing so well.
Good.
So it's
amazing.
Like you just find like other ways.
That's so
to just
good
go
to hear.
Like I'm not scared of just making vlogs or getting low views now. I'm just perfectly happy creating what I love because I'm happy with it. And I know it's great content and people are starting to see like I just did a deal with Adobe, like
amazing.
A huge deal with Adobe.
Congrats.
And they were the ones that really noticed me and said, because before brands were scared that I was doing like this dark abandoned stuff. And now it's like it's different. I mean,
that's good because I remember when I first talked to you, we actually talked about brand deals and how you really didn't do them. So it's cool to see that shift.
Yeah, it's starting to change. I think because I think it's because everyone's starting to do abandon.
Very mainstream. So it's not as scary.
It's becoming mainstream. Now people are like, oh, we can do deals. I mean, I was so surprised when Adobe hit me up. Mm-hmm. But they were like, listen, like I know you're the king of this abandon and you do it like properly. Like it's done right. I want to work with you. And
amazing.
I just right away I took it. Yeah. I was not expecting that from Adobe because they're so big.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm just used to doing like advertisements for like hotels and stuff. And, you know, and I'm
Adobe's a great brand to work with.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And the thing is, like, I'm not like the other travel YouTubers because I am considered a travel YouTuber, I think. But it's just the other people are just, you know, they're showing off the luxury hotels. They're showing that off. And that's great. But like because I'm such a I'm very dark, but I still do the light great mm-hmm. travel. It's just they just still look at me like, oh, his content's too dark, and they don't right. want to work with me. Right. And I'm just doing proper documentaries. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm. Well,
and I think that's when a lot of people will be like, Sarah, how do you work with like a ton of brands, you know? And honestly, I lucked out that my brand is fun, creativity, tech. Like, it's true. So innocent, and it's not like I'm putting up a facade or anything, but it's like I kind of lucked into what I'm interested in. It's clean, it's nice, yeah. you know,
and it's so family that's friendly easy to, and it's interesting,
you yeah know? But so many people like you do very interesting stuff that are equally important, and so yeah. it's you have to put in that extra work to be like, oh my gosh, how do I get multiple streams of revenue? And that's when you have to really get creative. And so that's good that the merch is going awesome.
Yeah, yeah,
how
yeah.
How did that start? Because merch is hard. Because okay. you don't, like, who fulfills it? Who Dude, makes it?
This is you know? Actually like a long thing. Mm-hmm. So I started working with one company and they were just crap. I did not like my vision and that the material used to make yeah. it was not good. Moved on to a next company. Stayed with them for over 2 years. And though, like, the material was okay, it still wasn't where I wanted to be. And the cuts were so harsh. Like, they were mm-hmm. banking off me.
Exactly.
And then so I was like, okay, scratch that. I know a guy that's literally down my street who mm-hmm. does this full time and creates his own stuff. Amazing, talented dude. Mm-hmm. I'm going to work with this guy. And we created our own little plan on pricings. We got the best quality clothing you can get. And my stuff ain't like, you know, like this paper, you know, people can, like, they put like a picture and they iron it on. Yeah. That's how some of the merch is on YouTube. Yeah. All cheap, like, stuff. Yeah. Like, it's literally YouTubers' yeah. merch.
That's what my friend Chris Hall, he's seeing all of those problems and he's trying to address that with a company. But when he told me about it, I was like, dude, so many people already do that. You understand what a saturated market it is. But he was like, it's not quality. The margins are crap for creators.
Exactly.
And it's insane because some people who are so huge who could take fulfillment do like 6 week pre-orders and people never get their stuff.
Yeah, it's true.
And so it is, sometimes you do have to do your own thing to yep. make it work.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's 100%. So it's cool. No, it's 100% true. So now I instead of the paper, I'm doing ink, like real printing paper. Like, it's not not paper. My bad. I'm doing
screen?
Paint. Yeah,
yeah,
screen.
Yeah, yeah. Screen printing.
Yeah, screen printing. Press. Yeah, press. Yeah, screen press. You know, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But like, it's legit, and we don't do it once. We do it three times. We go over it three times, so it stays for good. It's yeah. it's when you wash it, it's not coming off. It's right. it's like really like it, my stuff is like you go into a mall. And it's something yeah. you see at the mall. It's,
right.
it's really amazing stuff. And that's all I've ever wanted. But it seems like there's no company on yeah. YouTube that can do it or near it or that works yeah. with it. Everyone is lies.
Guys, go follow Chris Hall NYC on Instagram if you want to. If you're interested in having what Josh has, because not everyone has a good neighbor down the street.
Yo, thank God for my neighbor.
What's his name? Shout out.
So his name's Long. Shout out to Long from Bad Taste in Providence, nice. Rhode Island.
Shout yeah. out to Bad Taste. Is yep. that the company?
That's his company and that's his actual cool. store.
Oh, awesome.
Yes. So my stuff is now in his store, but we ship Amazing. Out of the store.
So you do fulfillment out yeah. of, wow.
out of the same store. So dude, we are busy Yo. All the time.
So your merch operation is personal
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. We have a, yeah, yeah, we have a real thing. Cool. Like people will go to the store and grab my merch now.
That's cool.
I don't even like I feel so bad even calling it YouTubers merch yeah, yeah, because yeah. it's not. It's a real right. clothing line.
Right.
When people think of YouTubers merch, they think of what we just talked about.
Yeah.
So it's just all crap.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So now so I'm very proud. I rocked
yeah.
it. That's you know
why
that sweater I was wearing
yeah,
with the
yeah,
S's? That's,
sick.
Yeah, that's my, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. No, that's why you. I only put out like two lines of merch a year because yeah. I'm like, it has to be good enough or
yeah.
just like
yeah.
a message I resonate with or just cool.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I just throw a peach on a shirt sometimes.
Dude,
it's
no.
cool
I,
letterings,
like I
and it's like, yeah, that's cool.
Well, that's what I said. That's what I said. I yeah. loved your neon peachy sign.
Yeah.
I was like, I want one. Yeah. Like, that's
you
sick.
Need a you need to move to New York. Move the yes. whole exploring crew. That's yeah. also another question I had. How did the exploring crew start? Because you have
yeah.
three, four dudes around you
yeah.
who, like, help you with stuff, who do similar content, and you guys are like a squad. It's
yeah,
cool.
we're like a travel squad, and yeah. it started because I have a friend named, there's four of us total. Yeah. John, who lives across the street from me, started with me first. Then I wanted to find someone that was very similar and cool that likes, because like I was looking at more of like a squad, but like a squad like, you know Kingdom Hearts or Final Fantasy? Like a squad a like bit. That, like
yeah,
you're
yeah.
so close and cool and like
so
you can just
do. When
are
you going to make the exploring video game?
Ah, dude, that'd be sick. The video game, the movies, I would love to do anything like that. Actually, yeah. I do have a TV show I start filming December. I'm not going to get into it, but it is.
Is this a Creative Exchange exclusive?
It is. I haven't actually never announced it anywhere.
Are you allowed to say that?
I don't. I mean, there was not anything saying I can't say
right.
But that's all I can say.
Okay.
But it does do it with Abandon.
Cool. We don't know what platform it's on.
No, I can't say.
Okay.
But I will say that it's going to be big.
Oh my gosh.
And
it's going
to start showing in December. Well, I start the filming in December.
That's exciting. Well, are your homies going to be in it?
One is.
Okay.
One from the Exploring Crew. The other two, back to that, actually. Yeah. I forgot. Yeah. We were just talking.
The homies. Yeah, the homies. We can't gloss over the homies.
Yeah, for real. So I have my friend John, and we started first, and I'm looking for someone that was just as cool as us. I thought, like, just the same vision. Like, we're really, like, chill. And so anyways, so there was an event coming up called Boston Anime, and I met another guy named Steve there, and that's where I met Steve Ronan. That's his name. I met him at the place. I said, Steve. He's a really nice guy, and to be honest, like, he was working at this gas station. I was like, Steve, you seem to know what you're doing. You like filming. You're cool. Dude, meet me at my house. I have an idea. He comes to my house and said, listen, we're going to create these cool videos, and I want you to film and start a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And so I promoted him as much as I could, and I helped him out, and he left it. You know, he was able to do YouTube full time.
Wow.
And he left that, and he travels the world now.
Wow.
So he helps me out now. He helps mm-hmm. me out. He finds some crazy amazing spots
that's cool.
He was able to meet, like, tell his friends to help me out.
Hmm.
So it's really cool. Like, if I never helped him, I would never have got some of the spots I got now. So mm-hmm. it's definitely a good teamwork. And then I met a guy named Cody who was already doing YouTube. And guess how I met him? I met him from a YouTube comment.
What?
Yo, I know. Yeah, because you know, do you know Cody?
Yeah,
right?
I know Cody. Yeah.
Yeah. So I met Cody from a YouTube comment, and he's like, "Do you want to meet up?" We literally had 2,000 subscribers.
Wow.
And he's like, and I'm like, yeah, let's go meet up. I told him to follow me, and I want to film in this abandoned hospital. So he came all the way. He drove 2 hours to meet me, and this is our first time meeting. We ended up going inside an abandoned hospital, and our videos blew up together.
Wow.
So then, yeah, that's how the Exploring Crew started.
That's
now we
so
just
cool.
I introduce everyone to each other, and dude, we hung out ever since.
That's so cool. There's a Viceland
there is,
show.
There is.
Have you seen that? Abandoned?
Oh, dude.
How do you feel about that?
All right, guys.
Because it's literally called Abandoned.
I was just talking about this with my friends. Look, I'm a big fan of what Vice used to do. And I used to love Vice. Like I said, they did the Suicide Forest. They did so much cool, unique stuff. They even did like one of the weirdest thing was like the strongest drug in the world or something. Mm-hmm. I think it was filmed in Brazil. I don't know. But they were so unique. They were so, I thought they were different. And now, it's just their content completely switched. It's about weed. It's about skateboarding. And it's just not how they used to be. I felt they were really independent and great. And then, you know,
they're writing trends more.
They're
Instead
doing,
of setting
they're,
them,
I feel like
they're
might be selling
them.
Out.
And yeah.
But here's the thing. All the shows, everything that Vice filmed on that show Abandoned was every single spot on my YouTube videos. Vice, I don't care if you're listening. I mean, it's so true. Like, you literally took every single spot that I filmed on my YouTube channel and used it as your own video.
Wow.
And I talked to other creators and other people, and they said all Vice does now is just take people's stuff. They're not original anymore.
And I guess we've seen that with individual YouTubers as well with bigger followings, because automatically when you have 5 million subscribers, 10 million subscribers, you can watch maybe a video that popped off from someone like that has 50,000 subscribers, but you have 3 million. So it's
exactly
a little different with you, but we've seen a lot of times where bigger YouTubers will
glory.
Completely copy a video and take all the glory for it.
And that's exactly what Vice did. Like, I know they did, because there's no way they would have got some of the spots I got. Like, I hit the spots even before then. Like, all the videos I had on my channel are now, like, all of a sudden just start showing on that side.
Wow.
Which is really weird. And
I mean, good for you, because you'll get some more traffic.
True, but
at the same time,
think about it. This show, Abandoned, would have never started if I didn't produce these videos. Like, no one would have ever thought about going inside of abandoned places, like, how we're doing it. And I've been doing this before anything. Like, I had 1 million every single year living in freaking, like, Boston.
Yeah.
Like, with no help. There's no YouTubers to promote me. There's nothing. It's just me. Like,
and it's literally on airplanes. So their show, that's how I first discovered it.
That's how I watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
watched
it on
the airplane.
Delta flight.
Yeah. Dude, same with me. Same on the Delta flight.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, man, this is, like, pretty much a Josh video.
See, I'm glad you said it, because I had a lot of people. All right, the next show, like Netflix, we have Dark Tourism that just came out. They also, one of their whole episodes was filmed in Chernobyl, and one of their other episodes was filmed in Suicide Forest, Japan.
Wow.
Now, what do you think gave them the idea?
Yeah.
I mean, really, though.
Well, so you need to take this opportunity, and you need to tell them, hey, I have so many sets of skills and knowledge that you could come in and be a producer for these things.
Dude.
Instead of fighting it, guys, pay him money, And he will help you make it even better.
Dude, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have spots that luckily they don't know where they are. And, yeah. They're not gonna, and you know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to keep on going.
Exactly. You know? Well, and that's what's so fun is people can have an individual relationship with you. They know you. You're like one human, not a big entity, not the scary thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's why people are going to gravitate.
Definitely.
Towards that YouTube content because it is more personal. And that's what I enjoy about it.
Exactly. It's personal and everybody can do it and connect to it. And I agree with you 100%. And I don't, it still bothers me.
Oh, yeah.
It still bothers me because I was just talking about this. But it's okay. I just, I didn't want to go mainstream to the point where like everyone and their grandmas were doing it. And I feared it, that was going to happen because this is also my career. And like, I wanted to keep at the top, but I am still at the top. I'm the most, I'm the only one in the whole entire internet that posts two or three abandoned every single week.
That's insane.
Ever.
That's why I asked you about that. Like,
and I've done more abandoned probably anyone I'd say in the world. Yeah. Like I literally crossed the globe just searching for these places.
Are you a like platinum, diamond, gold times infinity member of like an airline, of all airlines?
I don't even have a travel credit card.
Oh, you're not?
I have nothing.
Wow.
I just buy flights and I do it. I'm just I did apply for like this travel card I want. Mm-hmm. And it's a cool one. It's like by Chase. It's like it's a really
Chase Sapphire.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I think, is that the best one or is it reserved?
Chess Sapphire Reserve is the
best
one. Yeah,
that's the one I finally...
I oddly know a lot about credit cards because I try to game the system.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, I've had a lot of success with credit cards. Like if if you're not a responsible human and you can't pay your bills every month, debit card's fine. I don't want to encourage people to get credit cards. Like that's not what this is about.
Yeah.
But... if you can pay your bills every month, you can really rack up those points and get free stuff.
That's what
I my ticket to Iceland completely free.
Oh, dude, see that's I'm gonna talk to you all more about that after this because I also want to know more. But like, I finally just got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been just, that's the thing. Like, no one, I don't get sponsors like everyone else. I have to literally search and risk my life and fly myself with my own money to do this.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been doing this for like 5 years.
A YouTuber who has to pay for their own flight.
Ain't that weird? I know.
That is so strange. I will say that the trick with the travel credit cards is most of those bonus points that you're going to get towards travel, you're going to need to spend a certain amount of money. So when I was doing my, Canon to Sony switch, I sold all my Canon equipment. I knew that I was about to buy like all the Sony equipment, like five grand worth of stuff. And I was like, this is the moment to get this travel credit card. So I put it all on the card, paid it off immediately. And I got like 40,000 points and got a free $1,000 ticket to Iceland. So
how much? So if you spend $5,000, you get $1,000.
You got to look for the deals.
Oh, okay.
So that was with the Barclays. So there's many. His name is Points Guy. He's a good credit card guy who will teach you about deals and stuff. Yeah,
I've seen that guy.
It's a website. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's certain deals that go on with Chase Sapphire or Barclays Travel. So you just have to wait for the right moments. You can make credit cards work for you.
Oh man.
But again, Dave Ramsey fans, don't get mad at me. Like, if cash debit is your thing, roll with it.
Wait, you know? Wait, who's that? Who's that? Is that like a thing
Dave
where people
Ramsey,
don't believe
man.
In?
Do you not know who Dave Ramsey is?
Nope, not yet. You're gonna have to
show me. Wow. Well, I'm from Texas, and I lived in Nashville for a year, so I was right next to Dave Ramsey. His studio is actually in Nashville, but he's been a radio host forever. He's written books. He's done all the things, and he's the guru of getting people out of debt. And he swears by cash and credit cards are of the devil and stuff. But I don't want to make him sound like a crazy person because he's really gotten a lot of people out of debt and like has really helpful stuff. I'm a big believer in like if you spend responsibly,
well, also,
credit cards
it's
are
just
fine.
I couldn't even like buy certain things because I didn't have credit before.
Yeah. Oh, and building a credit. That's another thing.
That's the reason why that's what started everything. Mm-hmm. I actually applied for just a simple credit card and I got denied.
Yeah.
So if I got denied, how do I get a credit card if I can't get any credit card?
I don't know how this turned into like a credit card education, but I will say a good first credit card is Discover.
Okay.
So especially if you're a student.
Yeah.
They'll hook you up with like $2,500 credit line. Like that was my first one. The Citibank one for one is really good because you get 1 point for spending, 1 point for paying back. Barclays Travel, and now I have American Express Delta card. And I have like the black one to where you just get like free.
Is that the car that lets you go inside like the lounges?
Yeah,
at the airport?
Yeah. So free lounge, unlimited lounge. Like, okay. And you get, once you get to certain levels, it's easier to gain points. And yeah, so that's it's cool. A whole thing.
I was looking at that one and I was like, I thought that the best part that sells was literally the fact you can get those lounges.
Exactly. But that's, it helps domestic. When you start going internationally, Delta's not the best way to go.
That's exactly why I switched to the Sapphire Reserve, because that's, it does worldwide everything. It covers like if your bag gets taken and things like that. Yeah. So that's why I took that one. But I was looking into that one.
Yeah.
But I need to work on getting like these free flights. That's what that's what I gotta start doing.
Yeah, I mean, loyalty to an airline actually pays off.
How do I do that? Sarah.
Delta. So everywhere I go, if a brand's paying for the trip or I'm paying for the trip, like I'm going back to Texas or whatever, I just always put it on my Delta card. Make sure you have a SkyMiles account so it racks up those points.
Oh, yeah.
And also,
yeah, okay.
So
yes.
It's not as many flights you buy, but it's also how much money you spend on that card. So it's much harder to rack up points when you don't have a Delta credit card.
True.
Because once you start the card spin, that's what helps you up to those different
so
levels.
Is there what's a good airline, right, that lets you go international a lot that I can use?
Yeah, see, I don't really know. See? I would say domestically Delta, because they're a good airline too. They're not like killing puppies or anything.
To be fair, I actually found them to be the best ones.
I love them.
Even on an hour flight, I had a TV on the hour flight.
Exactly.
Like, they know the plane only goes an hour.
The flight attendants are like nice and everything's clean. And they have Delta Comfort.
Not only that, they even gave you these really like expensive like Be Healthy bars just for your snacks.
Their snacks are good. Yeah. And I like that they have that middle, like I'm not balling enough to pay for first class everywhere, but they have that Delta Comfort where it's a little bit more space. It's basically right behind the first class. So you're not a total peasant in the back.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So that's
I never even flown first class before, and I've flown for 5 years.
And dude, you're fancy, bruv. You got over 3 million subs.
Dude, I am one of the most humblest. I swear to God, dudes,
guys,
they're out.
I am so humble.
Yeah. No, like I had so to humble. Say that because like I've never flown.
Awesome.
Like I never buy 5-star hotels. Like I literally do everything by myself. Like there's times where I will get like deals.
Yeah.
And dude, when I get those deals and like this room we're in right now, like when I get, I'm like, this is the life. Yeah. Like, I could do it, but I just keep saving.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's good because we all know we're not going to be YouTubers forever.
Exactly.
Am I right?
That's the
thing.
Put
that money in the bank.
I
don't
feel
spend.
Like when I'm 30, no one's going to watch me anymore. So I'm like, all right, I can retire at 30, maybe,
know.
You know?
Exactly.
That's the goal.
So, wrapping things up, what is next for Josh?
Okay, what's...
Exploring with Josh, what's next?
I'm going to tell you what's next. The what's next is on October 10th, I'm flying to Romania for Halloween series, and I'm going to do Dracula's Castle. But I'm going to do more because, here's what the people think. And this is why I make these videos too. People think that Dracula's Castle is another castle called, I think it's like, I forgot the name of it, but they think it's that castle. But in reality, the tourism board made it that castle just because it's easier to everyone to get to. The real Dracula's Castle is up in the mountain somewhere. And I'm going to go film both. And I'm going to tell people like that's the real one and that's the fake one.
Whoa. I mean, that's a good title too. Like the real Dracula's
Castle. Yeah, yeah. When you think of Romania, you only think of vampires and stuff.
Totally.
Yeah, but there's a lot more, but I'm going to show everything. The medieval towns that no one sees. I'm filming everything.
All right, guys. Well, go subscribe to Exploring with Josh. Is there any wisdom that you want to give people? If people want to be content creators, if they want to travel the world, do they need to do?
So I'm gonna do the same thing that I did. I analyzed what everyone's doing. I studied the field, and then I turned my own twist to it. Like, think about it. There was no one
you
doing abandoned.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and not only do you be unique and you do something that's completely different, but if there's something you like to do, do it, but do it in your own way, because people will subscribe to you, not for your content, but remember, for yourself, your personality. Mm-hmm. And that's what I realized a year later. Yeah. I didn't realize that. That's why.
And then if you put the cherry on top with good production, then it's done. Out of the park.
Home run. It's done. There's no reason why you can't over the time build like a good following.
Yeah.
If you're doing everything right, there's no way that you can't, because people will find you and generally like you. Yeah. It takes time. It sucks, but it can happen.
Mm.
Boom.
So good. Well, Josh, thank you so much for being on the Creative Exchange.
Thank you.
Every single Monday, guys, a new episode on Apple Podcasts. Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Casts. And then if you want the episode a week early, I have an RSS feed and the exclusive video episode. Woo! So they don't see our beautiful faces right now because they're listening to us.
This is serious.
But if you want to see us, you can go to patreon.com/SarahDeechee. Josh, my links, everything in the description below. Thanks for being with me.
Dude, thank you. It was a fun talk.
It was a
fun
one.
And I learned a lot about credit cards now from you.
There you go. That'll be the title of this podcast. Travel credit cards. What you need to know.